It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Good morning. Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. We're approaching the end of January already. Man, they fly by, Bob. Man, we've had some cold weather. I don't know about where you are, but man, all the way down to the coastline of the Gulf of America now.
Yes. I saw that, all the snow in Pensacola, made me laugh.
Right. Yeah, that's record stuff, they said, down there. I mean, the New Orleans and Baton Rouge and stuff, they've never seen snow that deep ever on record.
Hmm.
So, I imagine there's kids down there that have never seen snow. If they've not traveled, young kids, you know, having that in their yard. I just wonder, though, man. They don't have plows and shovels, right?
This never happens. It's total gridlock when
right.
this happens.
So, but what about like frozen pipes? Because the houses don't have insulation like we do either. I think it's probably a mess down there.
Well, many of the houses are actually insulated because their air conditioning runs so hard in the summer that
it works
for that too.
That's right.
But they also have what are called electric heat pumps. And it's like an air conditioner that runs backwards in the winter, and that's how they heat their house.
Okay.
They're good down to like 20 degrees, maybe down to 10. After that, auxiliary heat kicks in, and you've got electric elements that are heating your house.
Oh, okay.
So the bigger problem isn't will your house freeze. The bigger problem is how much can the power grid absorb with all that electricity surging?
I see. Yeah. Always something in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those things are hogs.
Yeah.
They're like 15,000 kilowatts.
Yeah. Sucking up the energy. That is if you have one. I'm betting that there's a lot of houses that might not have that. Who knows?
Well, that's kind of their only source of heat for many people.
Yeah.
Because they don't have maybe the natural gas. They developed it all around electricity.
I see.
And, you know, those units are popular in Michigan to a certain extent. We have a lot of all-electric communities, and, you know, I sell that stuff wholesale. And
right.
We sell air handlers with 10 to 15 kW strip heat. And
talk English to me, brother.
Yeah.
Right?
It's expensive to run.
Oh, yeah, I bet it is.
So you might save a little in the summer, but you're giving it back in the winter. Natural gas is still the best deal around.
Yeah.
You can't touch it.
Right. Yep.
That's why if you've got natural gas, you don't bother putting a heat pump in. You just put an air conditioner in.
Right.
But if you're on propane and you need air conditioning, always do a heat pump.
Right.
Because it'll save you a lot of propane.
Right.
And propane's crazy expensive.
Yes, it is.
But it is cold. You're right. And, you know, as we tried to figure out what the show was going to be about this week, it kind of came down to that. It's just cold.
Yeah.
It's just cold. So what do we do to warm our bellies? And one thing this little baby isn't doing is standing outside grilling. I'm outside too much. I'm plowing. I'm doing all this stuff. I don't really want to stand outside and cook right now.
Right.
We tell people you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
But we don't always practice it.
Right. Last weekend after the show, I spent the weekend outside, and it was a lot of fun. Saturday, there's enough ice on the lakes now, and we'll have Chaz on at some point in the near future to give us an ice fishing report. But I went ice fishing and actually caught a limit, which is wonderful.
Where'd you go?
A bunch of blue goose. Barlow Lake down by Hastings.
Yeah.
But we went down there, and there was 100 guys on the ice.
There's a lot of walleye on that lake,
well,
too.
I don't know. We caught a couple perch, but mostly bluegills, nice bluegills. And then the next day, I left for the Thumb area over to Ubley, Michigan, with five of my Shartucky boys. The six of us went over there, and we hunted pheasant. On Sunday afternoon, we got there at noon, and they put out birds for us, right? It's a put-and-take kind of thing where you pay for them. And we, for the first time ever, we got all of our birds plus some bonus birds. It was just perfect conditions. It was snowing like sideways here. We got over there. The sun was shining. It was cold. It was
like
15.
How many dogs?
We had 3 dogs and 6 guys. And
perfect.
Yeah, we put out 36 birds, and we got 42. So there were extra birds in the field. And
so you're going to be smoking some pheasant?
Well, I let the other guys have it, frankly.
That hurts.
Well, not really.
Hurts me.
Yeah, but but they breast them out for you. So it was just skinless, boneless breast is all it was. And a lot of the guys, Lisa doesn't really care for it, and so a lot of the other guys, you know, cherish it. So I let them have mine. Cool. Yeah. You know, whatever. It was fun. Yeah. It was a good time. But anyway, yeah, it was cold, and you know, I mean, you had the full head gator on and dressed all up, and yeah, we were walking around for 2 or 3 hours. One of my buddies has a GPS on his dog. He took 56,000 steps while we were hunting. Just think about that. The dog is running constantly, right, for 2 hours. And the GPS
slept
counter,
well on the way home.
Man, yeah. Well, yeah, we stayed the night on Sunday and then came home on Monday. Watched that inauguration, or listened to it, rather, on the radio on the way home.
Oh.
Yeah, it was just interesting. What a great week, man. What a great week.
Yeah, I was working Monday for the inauguration, so... When I got home Monday night, I went down into my office. I said, I'm going to be gone for 3 hours.
Right. Yep.
And I just, there's so many great videos you can catch of any news events now.
Right. Yep.
That, and you know, am I a big Trump supporter? Sure. Did I like it? Yeah. But it was kind of uneventful. I mean, it was pretty much what I expected. It wasn't like, earth shattering or,
yeah,
it's just kind of cool.
Well,
after all this struggle to finally get somewhere.
I think that he did a lot of unprecedented things that are good, but signing all those executive orders in front of 20,000 people, I don't think a president had ever done that before. You know, just some cool stuff, and the energy the guy has is amazing.
You know, it was successful when Politico comes out and says, we have to admit it, he's one of the most successful presidents ever.
Yeah.
It's like, wow. Okay, enough for politics anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't like the guy, I'm sorry for talking about it. But it's nice for those of us in that persuasion to finally get a little bit of recompense, I think is the word.
Yep.
But it was tough watching the Lions lose.
Yeah, that was.
Let's go back to the negatives.
Well, you know, I mean, that happens, I guess. It stinks, but what can you do? I mean, everybody has a bad day, and there was two or three people that had all one in the same day.
Yeah, but by the Redskins. I mean, they're just...
Yeah, Commanders, right? Yeah.
But they'll always be the Redskins.
Yeah, right. I get it.
They played
well,
though.
But they
did. They did. They surprised everybody.
Right.
Especially the Lions.
Yeah, and this weekend, we'll see how it goes for them, too.
We did a lot of cast iron cooking this week, and... I guess that sort of prompted me to come up with some ideas for cast iron cooking, because I think a lot of people are hunkering in.
Oh, yeah.
And it's okay to have some ideas to do something a little different.
Yeah, where we were, we had 3 days in a row of no school. I mean, it snowed so much and it was so frigid cold that I forgot to tell you one thing, too. Sobey hooked me up with some beautiful inch-and-a-half New York strips. Right, for the boys after we got done hunting, and I took the tech over with me, and the wind is blowing 20 miles an hour, but it's coming from the west to the east, and I'm on the east side of the house under a little lean-to. The house is blocking the wind. It was perfect, and I got out there with my new RFX thermometer because it was 0 degrees while I was grilling. Got the tech going, gave it about 10 minutes to heat up, and then stuffed that RFX probe in one of those steaks and then just put them on and was watching it from inside the door, right? And when it was heat up, I'd go out and flip it and do that. But it was cool to use the tool for the first time. That was my first time out there. Steaks turned out perfect, thanks to Sobey. They were beautiful New York strips, really nicely marbled. And but anyway, it was fun. But I grilled at zero in a 20-mile-an-hour wind, but the wind was just swirling around the house. It wasn't hitting me dry.
There again, infrared saves the day.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yep. It does, because it was plenty hot, and I got great grill marks on them, and the boys all ate really well. So it was kind of fun.
Well, and that's what I came home to the other night, was a bunch of steaks. But my son Jordan did them on the big 22-inch Lodge cast iron.
Oh, yeah.
And they turn out great.
Yep.
And that's what made me think, you know, we tend to overlook doing a steak on cast. And a lot of restaurants, if you order a steak, that's all you're getting.
Right, right. And they'll do it. And they're tasty, but you got to learn how to do it. And Barbecue Bob is an expert at this. He's been using cast a lot longer than I have, but my kitchen's full of it now. So You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Fill up your coffee. Buckle in. We're going to get cast irony.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it is a little chilly out where we are, and hopefully you made it through the ice box we had this past week. Grilling Guys still have their grills out, but we are practical. Bob, we want to talk a little bit about cast iron. Where do you want to go with that?
There's something about coming in from the cold and having a nice, first of all, to walk into your house and the aromas hit you.
Right.
If the people cooking know what they're doing, the aromas are fantastic.
Right.
And that's who we're really talking to. Because if they don't know what they're doing, they need to listen even more because we're trying to help you.
Right.
And I think the people that listen to this show tend to be really good at what they do.
Sure. Well, at least, or maybe getting a little better if we can impart a little bit of knowledge. Before we get with recipes, cast iron is one of those things that is a freak in nature because you don't really, if you have it seasoned well, you don't need a lot of butter or lubricant or anything on the product that you're cooking because it's a naturally nonstick surface, right? But it has to be seasoned. And let's talk a little bit about that because I think you can ruin a lot of things if it isn't seasoned properly.
You mean like if it's brand new?
Yeah, or if you've washed it. I've loaned them out. We'll take something to somebody's house and leave it there.
No, wash it with soap.
Yeah, and it comes
back. Oh, I took Dawn to it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You absolutely
killed it. Thank you. Yeah, so
that's one reason to keep bacon grease in your refrigerator.
Right.
Because you can just wipe that on it and throw it in the oven for 15, 20 minutes. And let that
season
it and get that patina going again.
Yeah. So what do you what temperature do you do that at?
Maybe 300-400.
Right. And you're going to leave it in there for 15-20 minutes. What you're trying to do?
I think the hotter the better, probably, because you're trying to expand the particles in the iron.
Right. And then when it cools down, it hardens and it becomes nonstick.
Right. And what some people might not know is that iron is actually somewhat porous.
Right.
So it absorbs whatever you're cooking. And if you wash it with a strong detergent like Dawn, it's going to absorb that. And it's going to go in. And Dawn cuts fat and grease. And it's actually the fats that are building up the protection for that cast iron. If you go to somebody's house and you see their cast iron rusting, you know they're screwing up.
Right.
Because they cleaned it too much. That's why Lodge sells a really cool, I got one for Christmas, really cool, it looks like a sponge, but it's got this chain mesh around it.
Right.
And you just use hot water and you scrub your pan out with that, turn it upside down, let it dry.
Yeah.
Don't destroy all the fat buildup that's in that porous pan.
You will get much better results if you leave that in there.
And for women in particular who need iron, cooking on cast iron actually does infuse iron into your food.
Yep.
So that's kind of a best kept secret. That's a good health tip.
So the one last thing on this cleaning, because I had to teach Lisa this. She had never used cast before, and now that's all we use in our kitchen. I got 4 skillets and a Dutch oven. We'll touch on that in a minute.
But has she used one on your head yet?
No, but I ducked. But the washing of it, she was like, oh, we got to wash that out with the soap. No, hot water. Don't burn your hand, but it's about as hot as you can stand in that little chain thing. But get all the food particles that you can see.
Well, here's another big tip. Do it when it's hot.
Right.
Not red hot.
Right.
But when it's nice and warm, a little water on there and things just slide out like it's Teflon, but it doesn't kill you.
Right. And the thing is the next time that you're going to cook with it, it's going to be so hot, there's no bacteria in there. I mean, it's going to kill anything right. that was ever on it before you put anything in the pan, because now we're going to talk about warming that cast iron up before you use it.
Yes, and speaking of Teflon, I saw a great movie maybe a month or two ago that's pretty new, and it's all about how the Teflon came in and how they were hiding the evidence of what that does to your health and how it flakes off the pan. I immediately threw out the last two pieces of Teflon in our house.
Yeah. Yep.
And the Teflon was flaking.
Sure.
And I kept telling my wife, please don't use it. Please don't use it. And she loves that little Teflon pan, but
yep.
I don't think it's good.
She's gone now.
It is.
Yeah.
So one of the things you can do is dig through your freezer this time of year, because maybe you're not going shopping as much. Like right now, when the snow is hitting, you just don't feel like trodden through the snow and fighting off the hordes in the supermarket. And so you're going to start digging through your freezer, and most of you have a freezer or two. And if you're a hunter in particular, your processor might have cut out some of the venison as roasts.
Right.
And you never know what to do with them, because it's like half the people in your house are probably saying, "Yeah, Dad, I'm sick of venison," or "I hate the way you make venison," or "I never did like it." And a lot of that's due to how you took care of the animal when you took it. So let's say you did a good job and you got it cooled off and you got it cleaned up and you processed it and you end up with some nice, what we call a knuckle. That is built for a Dutch oven.
Mm-hmm.
And
why is that?
Well, because it's going to take a long time to cook. You're going to want to roast that thing low and slow, 3, 3 1/4, with a bunch of onions and garlic and maybe whatever your favorite juices are. Not too much, but it's going to need something. The onions will provide some.
But maybe like a beef bouillon or something like that.
That'd be wonderful, a little right. beef broth.
Yep.
And just bring that thing up to, I'm saying, 190 degrees.
Yeah.
In the middle. Use your thermopen. And that is going to impart a flavor. And you're going to want to use a lot of sea salt on top of it when you put it in.
Venison, you're not very
gonna,
lean.
You're not going to turn it over. And if you want to throw some bacon on top, that won't hurt a thing.
Right, right. You're just trying to impart a little bit of flavor to it. But then when if you get it to that 190, it will kind of pull apart.
Like a brisket.
Right, yep.
Very similar to brisket.
Yeah.
That dense, tough meat.
Yep.
But you don't want to overdo it. And that's why the Dutch oven is so nice. You know, they should make a cast piece for a brisket. So when you're done smoking it, you can throw it in a nice big cast piece and finish it off without worrying about wrapping it.
Right.
Because that's when you can hydrate it.
Yep.
So if it's that, or a rump roast is the same way. If you right. don't shoot deer, if you don't like eating venison or elk or moose.
Or don't have any.
But you.
Like me.
But you have maybe went halves like I do on a cow. And you always end up with a rump roast.
Right.
They can be kind of cantankerous. You can do the rump roast the same way because it's from the rear end of the cow, so it doesn't have the flavor that the front end, the chuck flavor that the front end does. So it tends to be a little boring. And that's why when you see shaved beef, it's always from that rear knuckle. It's mm-hmm. not.
When you say knuckle, that's a roast. That's just a butcher
yeah, it's
term.
Yeah, it's the hip joint. It's right. the... It's the part that has a lot of connective tissue that people don't really want to try and make a steak out of because it's a little tough. It's very lean. And the fat always ends up on the front end of the animal for some reason.
Yeah.
I guess, you know,
yep.
their butts stay warm.
Well, closer to the heart and everything gets taken out of the blood.
I don't know.
Stuff. Right.
And I don't pretend to, but I just know that piece, that rump roast, can be ruined very easily.
Well,
and that's one you want to make sure you're covering, and that's where the Dutch oven is just perfect.
Right.
Because it just keeps that moisture in there. And are you steaming it? Yeah. Do you have to sear a roast like that?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
No, not when you go to 190 and it's going to be in that moist environment. You're going to lose any crust you had anyway with the moisture that's in there.
I used to sear everything, and anymore I don't bother. Yeah. I don't know that it does any good.
Yeah. So coming up next, we're going to continue with a little bit of Dutch oven, then I'm sure we'll go to a skillet or two. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. Open from 6:30 to 9, Monday through Saturday, and 8 to 3 on Sundays. You can enjoy a fresh pastry in the morning, a hearty sandwich for lunch, or a delicious brick oven pizza for dinner. Whether you're into coffee and tea, beer or wine, our drink menu is sure to have something for everyone. We hope to see you soon. Don't forget to check out our sister location, Hall Street Bakery, on the corner of Hall and Fuller. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone.
Welcome back. You listen to the grilling guys. We're talking about using cast iron in your kitchen and in the cold rather than on the grill. You can use it on the grill too, but today we're in the kitchen with cast iron. I was a long-time naysayer. Bob introduced me to really using cast iron almost every day. I used to ride him real hard about he would make everything in a Dutch oven until he got me one finally, and then I started using it.
That was a good joke for a long time.
Right, yeah.
I'd say the term just to fire you up.
Right, yeah.
Throw his paper down. Oh, Dutch oven again.
Yeah, but you have a daughter-in-law that is a very accomplished baker, and yeah. She gave my wife, much to my belly chagrin, she gave my wife a sourdough starter.
Yep.
And that was at Christmas time. And here we are a month later, and I bet we've had 15 loaves of sourdough bread made in the Dutch oven.
Do you?
Yeah.
That's how you want to do it?
Yeah, and it's wonderful.
Does she put parchment paper under it?
She does.
Yeah.
And all that does is keep it from getting really baked hard on the bottom.
So here's another tip. When you're using your oven, Dutch oven in the oven,
mm-hmm.
if it's a gas oven in particular,
mm-hmm.
don't use the bottom rack.
Right. Right. Because the heat comes from the bottom.
It's a little too much radiant heat. Electric ovens have elements all the way around it. They cook, they bake much better. That's why commercial ovens are always electric.
Yeah.
But that's cool. Well, I'll tell Allie that she's doing that.
Neighbors have gotten them because we can't eat it all. She's making one every day or
so
two.
So healthy for you.
Yeah, that's what she said.
So. So one thing we didn't touch on in the second segment that I'm a big fan of, and that's doing chicken in mm-hmm. a Dutch oven.
Whole chickens?
Or whatever. But a whole chicken works nicely because it's easier for you. This isn't supposed to be, prep-a-mania. It's supposed to be just a nice meal that is simple. But here's the other part. When you get done doing a chicken in a Dutch oven and you pull it out, it is photogenic.
Yeah.
It just says, eat me.
Right. That skin crisps up in there, even though there's moisture. And that's the other reason why it's so good is that you are sealing that moisture in there and they don't dry out.
And what does that loaf of sourdough look like when she pulls it out?
Delectable.
Inviting.
I mean, yeah. And
does she use the knife and make the little designs?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
They're just amazing now.
Right. Yeah. And she's gotten real creative with that too. Deeper cuts and shallower cuts. And yeah, she's really enjoying playing with it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Super good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, don't forget the chicken. I guess one of the things this time of year, if I'm inside using cast iron and I'm digging through my freezer, I know I'm going to find some skirt steaks or flank steaks.
Yep.
And those are really wonderful. If you have, this is like a lodge commercial and they should be sending us some more equipment. But if you have like the big 22 inch, didn't I get you one of those?
Yeah.
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 I love mine.
Almost too big to go in the oven. It just goes in.
Barely.
Yeah.
But I use mine on my stovetop.
Yep.
And that is so big that if you're going to do something fast like a steak, and with a skirt steak, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to run that flame up pretty high because it's a big pan and you want that flame to spread out. But also, I'm just going to flash that thing a couple times. Yep. I'm not going to really cook it. It's going to be medium rare when I pull it off. And I put it on a cutting board and cover it and let it just settle down because my mouth's watering. I love flank steak and skirt steak. But when you cut it, on a 45 against the grain, and then you take your big spatula and set it on the platter, and it sort of fillets out.
It's like a deck of cards if you were taking and spreading out a deck of cards,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
It looks beautiful.
It's really tasty.
So inviting.
Yeah, the flank steak and the skirt steak are very, very flavorful cuts.
Skirt's probably my favorite.
But you've got to not overcook it, first of all, but you want it hot, that skillet almost as hot as you can get it, because you just want to put a crust on either side of it, because if you go much past medium rare, it starts to get a little tough.
And it's a little tricky to temp probe because it's so thin.
Right.
You can run that thermal pen probe right through it.
Right.
And again, a little aside, I don't know if you're doing this yet or not, but you know, I used to talk about tahine all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That is the perfect spice, T-A-J-I-N.
Right.
You'll find it in the spice rack. And if you have a Mexican market around you, go check them out, because there's a lot of other brands. That's just the big national. But there's something, it's got citrus and peppers and salt, and it's just perfect. And
right.
If you're going to do a skirt steak, you're probably doing fajitas or tacos.
Right.
It's gonna get you set up for success.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then you've got that big pan out. You can cool your temp down, and you can start throwing your tortillas on.
Right.
And just flash them real quick.
Nothing better to just put a little bit of Old World Olive Company has a lime olive oil. And I just put a little bit of that in a bowl and brush it on the tortilla and put it in that hot skillet. Now I use flour. I'm not a big corn guy. I'm a flour tortilla guy. And what happens is they blister a little bit. You know, they'll almost separate with that outside really thin layer, and they'll blister up and they'll brown.
Well, tell your wife,
oh, they're so
she
good.
Can actually make flour tortillas with that same sourdough recipe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's what we have in our house all the time.
Wow.
But I'm a corn tortilla guy.
Yeah?
I'm not a flour tortilla guy at all.
Okay.
Especially if it's like enchiladas or anything like that.
Yeah.
Got to be corn.
Okay.
Got to be.
Yep. I'm a flour guy. I prefer the flour. But either way, they're good if you heat them up a little bit in the skillet and you have it going anyway. And there might even be a little bit of juices or a little bit of flavor from that skirt steak left in there. If that gets on your tortilla, all the better.
Do you remember when we had the Venezuelan guys on? The one was from Oregon. The other one was from Columbus or somewhere.
Neither one of them from Venezuela?
Well, they were both from Venezuela, but they were Americans now.
Okay.
And I got really deep down the path on the chimichurri.
Okay.
That is a fantastic marinade, but it's also something you can hyper blend with your immersion blender, and you can take a little piece of it before you use it for a marinade, and you can whip it down really fine and then add cremo to it.
What's in chimichurri, just real quick?
Oh, it's parsley and cilantro and vinegar and sea salt. And pepper.
And tomatoes.
And
No tomatoes? No,
and I think it's got a little wine vinegar in it, maybe, or white vinegar.
Okay. But largely peppers and
it's largely cilantro. Parsley and cilantro.
Okay.
And some oil and vinegar. And it's really simple. You can go to thegrillingguys.com. We've got a few recipes on there. And if you are on thegrillingguys.com, go to the right-hand side. You'll see all of our sponsors. Click on their links. I just got another ad from ThermoWorks, ThermoPen. They've got crazy sales going on right now because I'm sure the numbers are down this time of year. Good time to buy them.
Right.
They're like 30%, 40% off. And click on the link. If you happen to buy some equipment from them, you know, we might get a couple bucks, and it helps keep the show on the air.
Yeah.
And same thing with MyPillow. If you know, they've got wonderful slippers. Don't you have a pair?
I do.
Yeah.
I
Are
do.
They warm?
And maybe other people in my family have them too. I like them so much, I bought them for them. Yeah.
Yeah. We've got the pillow topper. We got all the pillows, and I just love that product. It's American made.
Right. Yep. Up in Minnesota.
Yep.
Where they know how to make things warm and comfy.
Yes.
Right.
Good point.
Yep.
So the thing about this Mexican style cooking on cast is, number one, the few Mexican chefs I know very well, and I meet more all the time because I just love that food profile, they're all cooking on cast, either a grill cooktop or cast iron.
Griddle. Yep,
that's what they do. So if you get that big 22-inch out and you do your skirt steak, you can do your onions. I might saute my onions before I even do the skirt steak.
Get a little flavor in there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And get some oil on there. And then pull the skirt steak off, a little more oil, start throwing your tortillas down, get them whacked out real quick, got to watch your temperature on the tortillas.
Yep.
It's going to take a lesser heat because it's a little more susceptible to blackening. But that whole thing can be done right there. And then you do the chimichurri and you add some cremo, C-R-E-A-M-O.
Right.
And,
good stuff. Makes for a great meal.
That's that lime.
And all in one big skillet.
That's that light green thing you see in Mexican restaurants that looks like a green mayo.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's way better.
Way better. Yeah, but doing that all in one pan on the stovetop is just cool to clean
it's
up.
It's art.
Well. All right, coming up next, it's stew season. I love me some stew. We're going to talk about that too. Stick with us. It'll stick to your ribs too. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Jop from The Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them The Grilling Guys sent you.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fen Valley Vineyards.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys. Hey, if we're boring you with cast iron, well, buckle in. We got one more segment to go here. But if you don't have cast iron, some sporting goods stores have it. The bigger box ones do. I know we're fond of the Lodge brand. It's all they do is cast iron, and it's American made.
Yeah.
And it's really, really good
They're
stuff.
They're like 130 years old. Right. I went to the Forge.
Yeah, we had them on at one time. We probably showed up today.
We used to have them all the time.
Right.
But I went down to the Forge on my way to Atlanta. I was doing a road trip for work. And you come down, it's kind of mountainous, and you come down to a river, I think it's called Jamestown, and you just, that Forge is the whole town.
Yeah.
It's gigantic, and they were doubling it when I was there. So, I mean, their ability to kick out the cast is going to be, must be just fantastic by now. But here's the cool thing. If you're a southern-bound tourist, look it up and go there because they have a factory second store.
Oh, yeah.
And that pan I got you was a second. It's like a...
See, he really doesn't love me, Conrad. All right, I can get Jop this cheap pan, and I'll just tell him that.
Yeah, it was like 100 and some bucks, and it was in there it was 60.
Yeah.
Which is
it's fine.
Steal.
You can't tell the difference.
No.
I don't know a first or a second.
You can't find the blems.
Right.
You can't find the blems. They consider them seconds, but you walk in this store, and it's just, it's like a grilling guy's heaven.
Yeah.
Because you just want to buy everything. I left with so much cast iron.
Right. Car's going down the road,
right? Right.
Back end's all low because he's got it full of cast iron.
So here's the cool thing about stew. And again, we're back to the Dutch oven. This should have called it the Dutch oven show. But what do you use for stew meat? Do you buy it?
Yeah, generally, a chuck roast. You know, I'll chop up part of that because stew is low and slow, and the tougher cuts, or maybe you know, sometimes chuck roast has a little too much fat in it that to cut it and eat it. But if you put it in that cast iron, it'll render. And then it just adds a ton of flavor. So I like a big, you know, chuck roast.
There's several ways to do that.
Yeah.
You can put it in like that, or you can cut it up and saute it and cook it.
Right.
So I've done it both ways. I find that people eating the stew like it better when it's cut into small pieces, especially women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when I do a roast and then just break it into pieces, you've got some pretty big, long strands of connective tissue.
I would think it'd cook a lot quicker if you cut it up.
Likely.
Yeah. So,
but it's going to cook a long time anyway because you want to get that first of all, whatever, I like browning it in the oven.
Uh-huh.
And then I start...
In the cast pan.
Yep.
Right.
Then I'm going to throw on some the Holy Trinity lettuce, I'm sorry, onions, celery, and carrots.
Right.
And then I'm going to put the...
In big pieces. In larger chunks.
You can do it either way.
Yeah.
You know, again, that's personal preference. Some people like that. Some...
Right.
In terms of serving it, it's always better when the sous chef does their job.
Yeah.
And makes it all small. And you're probably your own sous chef.
Right. Exactly.
But then you... One thing I've discovered in the last few years is those little white potatoes.
Yeah.
They're fantastic.
Yep.
And that's so easy.
About as big as a golf ball or a little smaller.
A little smaller, yeah.
Yeah.
They're so easy.
Right. And leave them whole.
Yeah.
Right? And just throw them in there.
Yep.
Chunks of whole carrot. Not the little baby carrots because they kind of break down, but a regular girth carrot.
Baby carrots have no flavor.
Right. And then... And then onion, and I might put the onion in there in quarters, a big sweet onion, and it'll fall apart as it cooks. Now, what do you use?
Again, you're down to personal preference on onions.
Yeah,
I like using a Spanish or a strong onion.
Okay,
because I want that all the things in an onion to do their work, just like all the things in a pepper, like capsaicin and stuff, and green peppers, jalapenos, and all that. Let them do their work. But when it comes to an onion. I learned from a restaurant guy when I think I was in college or in the service.
God, he's got a great memory. That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, the ice had just thawed. And
the ice age? Is that it? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And so there's a way I cut it that it comes up geometrically into nice little bitty cubes.
Okay.
It's easy to do. You can see chefs doing it online. I won't bother trying to explain it, but I actually like that onion to kind of disappear. Okay. I don't want it because some people, again, freak out over onions. They're just like, they're pulling. I don't want to see you pulling onions out of my food, so I'm going to make them disappear.
Okay, because they'll disintegrate in the cooking process
is
what you're talking about and become part of the flavor. So what do you use for juice? I mean, you want a gravy on this thing kind of when it comes out of there. I think I want a little bit of something so that I can spoon it up
what do
and
you
get
use?
All that. Generally... It'll be either a beef broth, but I buy this stuff that's called Better Than Bouillon.
Isn't that great?
Oh, man. It's super flavorful.
Where has that been?
Right, yeah. So, and I'll buy the beef of that and make it up just as per the jar and put like a cup of it in there. And like you said, the things will break down. You're getting flavor from all the vegetables, but then it's just a little bit wet. When I pull it out of there, if you mash the potato, there's a little juice on there.
Kent Butcher Supply sells a powdered beef bouillon.
Yeah.
And Tim Sobey turned me on.
I was going to say, Sobey's got it too.
And I'll just put a few sprinkles of that in there and use water.
Right. Yep.
Because it's way cheaper than the Better Than Bouillon.
Yeah, but it's not Better Than Bouillon because Better Than Bouillon is better than bouillon. Can you say that three times fast?
Oh, man, I'm losing it.
Doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I know, but it does. You got it, didn't you, out there?
Again, you got to please the people you're cooking for. So when you're making your stew, by now, you already know. I mean, the primary person, if I'm making stew, the primary person I want to make happy is my wife.
Well, sure.
And I know what she likes and doesn't like.
It's because you've been married forever.
Do you put any green beans in it?
Never.
Oh.
Never done it.
Have you ever had green bean stew?
No.
That's a Syrian dish.
Would you just ask me if I'd put green beans in my stew and I said no, so I've not had green bean stew.
But there's a stew called green bean stew, and it's just roast beef, tomato sauce, green beans. It's got cinnamon and things. Maureen makes a wonderful green bean stew. And you put it on rice. But anyway, when I'm making my stews, at the last half hour, if it's in the oven, I'm going to put a bunch of chopped green beans and maybe some peas in there, frozen peas, because I love seeing some green in there.
Sure, yeah. Good for you, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. I just never done it, but...
You don't like green beans, huh?
No, I love green beans. I've just never put them in a stew because I thought they'd break down and
you're
be really
always,
stringy.
You're the one who always... Well, that's why you put them in the last 40 minutes.
Okay.
30, 40.
Yeah.
But you're the one that always says you eat with your eyes first.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Gotta get some green in there.
Yeah, pretty.
There's already a lot of brown and white.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Unless your onions are broken down, then you got no white, right? White, right? Or are you having white rice?
I don't
rice?
Know where we're going with this.
I don't either.
So that's just the simple stew. And then my wife is always making some biscuits. Oh. So we can't have stew without her biscuits.
Yeah, you know that sourdough bread that your daughter-in-law makes?
Well, you can do that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's another Dutch oven item. I don't know. But that's
how'd you ever get along without a Dutch oven?
I don't know. Somehow I did, but now it's a big part of the game.
How many do you have now?
Two.
Uh-huh.
It's growing,
Conrad.
Right.
He's up to two.
What was that? 7 or 8 quart that you bought me. It's a big one, really nice. And then I got one about half that size.
Oh,
too,
so well, you'll have arrived when you get the 12 quart.
Oh yeah, right.
It's so big it has legs.
Yeah.
It's what you use when you're camping.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure. I think the legs are so that you can set it on something when you're done cooking. I don't know what the legs are for, rocks or the grate. But mine also came with a tripod.
Yeah, so you can hang it over the fire?
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just cool.
Yeah.
But very often, and it's got the flat lid with the rim around sides. And you can actually put some coals on the ground next to your fire and then scoop hot coals off the fire and put them on the lid. You would not believe how few coals it takes to cook a meal on that way.
Right.
It's just a remarkable product.
The heat goes down and creates
you
just
this. Hand it to the Dutch, Joppy.
Man, hey, it's heritage. I don't know why I never got one when I was growing up, but it took a Finlander to get me to learn how to use a Dutch oven for a Dutch guy. So
I don't know.
But anyway. All right, we've been all over the map today. Hopefully you've got some cast in your repertoire. If you don't, go get some because you won't regret it.
I was going to say, I think if you go to thegrillingguys.com, there's a Lodge link there.
Yeah.
There always was.
Yep, there always is.
They're not an affiliate. We don't make any money off it.
Right.
But we just love the company.
All right, well, get out in your backyard, plow your snow, open your grill. If you don't want to do that, get in the oven and get some Dutch going. But
wow.
We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.